A caption reads, Vietnam, 1972. On the ground at a quiet US Army base, two pilots sit in the cockpit of a chopper.
AC phase selector.
AC.
Force trim.
On.
Battery switch.
On.
Fire detector light.
Test.
Caution warning lights.
Test and reset. By the way, congratulations. Have you thought of a name for your kid?
Well, we're still fighting. I'm holding out for Joe DiMaggio Mazzilli. The greatest Yankee that ever lived.
Hydraulic control switch?
On.
Chip detector.
Oh.
Compass landing.
In.
Heads up, guys. Here comes Colonel Braddock.
So why would a colonel want to go to Cambodia?
Yeah, he could get hurt going across the fence.
He's needing a recon unit, checking enemy strength.
Clear?
Clear left, sir.
Let her rip.
Chuck Norris.
Main generator switch.
On.
Burn switch.
Spare.
Governor RPM.
Morning, sir.
Morning, Sergeant. Sergeant Lee. Would you like to take the control, sir?
No, thanks, Captain. Just along for the ride.
The dark green chopper lifts off into the clear blue sky. Missing in action two. The beginning. On board the chopper, square-jawed 40-something Colonel James Braddock watches the jungle canopy through narrowed eyes. He has a thick moustache and mid-length sandy hair. He wears green army fatigues and a slouch hat.
What are the coordinates on LZ Sally?
3740309.
We're right on top of them! Let's give them a holler!
Alligator 4, this is Red Cap 6.
They're in a firefight down there. Charlie's got him pinned down 2 miles south of the LZ.
How bad is it?
They're taking fire from our quadrant, sir. You want to go in?
Hang on, guys. We're coming down to get you. Get ready to move. Take it down, Captain.
The chopper banks in a quarry. U.S. soldiers fire on Vietnamese troops. Vietnamese troops outnumber the pinned-down U.S. platoon, who are hunkered behind rocks in the center of the quarry. On a high ridge, the Vietnamese fire grenades from mortars and open up with machine guns. The chopper swoops over the jungle canopy, then dips its nose and descends towards the quarry, firing rockets. Some of the U.S. soldiers lie dead. The chopper arcs around the ridge. The U.S. soldiers return fire. The soldiers run across the quarry. Grenades explode behind the soldiers. They dive for cover. The chopper descends and lands.
You okay? I'm fine! Let's go to the chopper! Come on!
Vietnamese troops chase the two remaining U.S. soldiers across the clearing. Braddock and the chopper's gunner open fire. Explosions erupt around the chopper. The two soldiers climb on board.
Come on, get in there! Come on, get in there! Quick, quick!
The pilot's killed.
Sir! Get the hell out of here!
Braddock tugs the pilot's body aside and takes the controls. The gunner sprays bullets at the encroaching Vietnamese as the chopper lifts off. A Vietnamese troop lifts a rocket launcher onto his shoulder and fires.
What the hell is that?
Get ready to jump!
One by one, they leap into a lake. The first U.S. soldier to jump is muscular Captain David Nestor. A red caption appears over a still image of Nestor. Missing in action. Next to jump is the chopper's gunner, Master Sergeant Ernest Franklin, or Frankie. Also, missing in action. Sandy-haired Corporal Lawrence Opelka is the next to jump. The same big red caption appears, missing in action.
Jump, Lieutenant! I said jump, Lieutenant!
With Braddock still at the controls, the olive-skinned co-pilot, Lieutenant Anthony Mazzilli, stares nervously, then leaps from the chopper. Missing in action. Braddock opens the pilot's side door, then jumps. Colonel James Braddock, missing in action. The empty chopper slams into the ground. In a graveyard, a ceremonial cannon is fired.
On the day America remembers its war dead, a special salute today to the war dead of Vietnam. An American serviceman who died there took his place today in a place of honor, the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. Almost 10 years after the last Americans left Saigon, the men who fought in Vietnam got their parade. Muffled drums and dirges, a coffin and a flag wrapped in plastic to protect it from the rain. In the amphitheater of Arlington Cemetery, families of the men still missing from Vietnam waited for the coffin and remembered. They wonder if their sons are still alive and why the world sits back and allows the Vietnamese government to flagrantly violate the Geneva Convention. Rumors of physical and mental torture have made the wait more agonizing. The families were reassured by a deeply moved president.
We write no last chapters. We close no books. We put away no final memories. An end to America's involvement in Vietnam cannot come before we have achieved the fullest possible accounting of those missing in action.
That was U.S. President Ronald Reagan talking to a massive crowd of Americans on home soil. In the jungle in Vietnam, a Vietnamese soldier watches over a prison camp from a gun nest in a wooden tower. Amongst the prisoners on the ground are the U.S. MIAs. All of them wear filthy, torn fatigues. Their faces are smeared with dirt. In a pristine beige uniform, the steely-eyed Colonel Yin steps onto a balcony outside a grass-roofed hut and stares at the prisoners. Braddock steps forward.
Colonel Yin, you may not give a damn about the Geneva Convention, but someday you're going to be held accountable.
The Geneva Convention applies to prisoners of war. You men are not prisoners of war. You are common criminals. I have repeatedly told you that there is no escape from my camp unless you consider death an escape. You are surrounded by cliffs, mountains, jungles full of man traps, and a bridge that is impassable. None of you have ever escaped, and none of you will. The only way for you to leave my camp is if Braddock confesses. He defends the country that has forgotten you, an outlaw nation the rest of the world reviles!
Yin clenches his fists in the air, then smirks.
They are killing your ambassadors of the evil in every part of the world.
Mazzilli, Opelka, and Frankie look up at Yin anxiously. Braddock stares at him levelly. Yin cocks an eyebrow at Braddock, then turns and heads into the hut behind him. The prisoners work in the sunshine, digging earth in a muddy field by the camp. A local prisoner approaches Mazzilli.
I have something for you.
Oh, family?
He hands Mazzilli a worm.
Hey, it's a beaut! It's got 2 inches!
Angelo says thanks.
He takes his hat off, puts the worm in it, then puts it back on. A guard comes over.
What'd he give you?
A B-52.
Oh! It's just a worm for his chicken.
The guard shoved Mazzilli, then walked the local man backwards at gunpoint. Braddock comes over to Mazzilli.
You know, I gotta learn to keep my mouth shut. What do? You never shoot your mouth off.
Try to decide if what I'm going to say is worth getting hit for.
Wish I could do that.
Frank.
It's hot. I'm sweating.
Looks like the malaria again.
Hey! Hey!
A bearded American prisoner takes a snake out of his trousers and shows a guard.
What the hell's Harry doing?
Bite his head off. Pack of cigarettes.
A nearby local prisoner smacks the guard with a shovel, then Harry pushes him over. The two men run off into the tree line. The local man steps on a trap amongst the foliage. Four sharp spikes shoot up and impale him. Blood pours from his mouth. Harry turns and hurries away. He arrives on a long wooden suspension bridge spanning a ravine. A guard with a flamethrower steps on from the other side. A gout of flame engulfs Harry, who flails around, then falls off the bridge. Now a raging fireball, Harry slams down into the wild, foaming waterfall below. The flames are extinguished as he's thrown over the edge amongst the torrent of water. The prisoners return to the camp.
Colonel Braddock, I need to talk to you. Colonel!
They stop by the graveyard.
Look, I'm real sorry those two guys died, but we don't all have to. Maybe I can get you in not to ride you so hard. You'd like that, wouldn't you, Brad?
Braddock glowers and steps away from Nesta, who wears a clean shirt and trousers.
How about it, Sergeant? I mean, you know you could use some time off.
Begging the captain's pardon, sir. But kiss my black ass.
That's funny. All you guys are big, brave soldiers, and you think I'm a coward.
No, you're not a coward. You're a traitor.
I'm not a traitor. Look, our country has forgotten about us, and we have to do anything we can to survive. Look, I'm not the bad guy here. It's Braddock and his stupid pride. When we first got here, there were five times as many of us. 33 Americans. Now look at us. I say that all Braddock has to do is confess to some garbage war crime and Yin will send us home. Who's gonna care? The war has been over for... God knows how long.
We don't know that for sure.
There is no war. And nobody gives a damn about us.
Oh, yeah? Well, I hear they're coming to get us. And if I were you, I'd rather die here than have to explain to my kid that I was a gutless traitor.
At least I've seen my kid. Let him go.
Frankie restrains Mazzilli. Braddock steps between them and Nesta.
Back off, Nesta.
Nesta looks at them all in disgust.
Die if you want. All of you.
Nesta strides away. As the prisoners set off, a guard, Chow, grabs hold of Mazzilli.
Who tell you someone coming?
No one. I made it up to piss him off.
Night falls in a rickety prison hut.
Why'd those guys have to run? God, I gotta get some sleep! But whenever I close my eyes, I see my wife, Gina.
Yeah, my Diane's gonna be mad at me. I want the four kids more than she did. We made a deal. She'd work and I'd retire and bring them up. Pull the hell out of her.
I haven't even seen my kid!
Frankie looks round at Mazzilli, who grips the wooden wall and hangs his head.
Sorry. I try to block it out, but I can't.
No one can.
You do, nothing bothers you. I'm just I'm just not tough like you!
Rolling a cigarette, the bearded Braddock looks down. The Vietnamese flag is hoisted up a flagpole in the prison camp. Inside the prison hut, Apelka stirs in his sleep. Sitting nearby, Mazzilli holds a black chicken in his arms and strokes its feathered head. A local prisoner looks up fearfully as a hatch is opened from the walkway above. A wooden ladder is lowered, and a guard climbs down it. He shakes a pelka. A senior prisoner, Ho, slips a pair of glasses on to watch as a pelka is ordered up the ladder. The ladder is withdrawn and the hatch is closed. Braddock watches through gaps in the hut wall as a pelka is dumped down on a wooden platform. The burly guard Lau grabs the woozy-looking Opelka and holds him up against a tree.
Sergeant Lawrence Opelka, you have been tried and found guilty of war crimes against the people of Vietnam and have been sentenced to death.
Ying cocks a gun, then holds it over his shoulder towards Nesta, who frowns and turns away. Ying gives the gun to Chow, who points it at Opelka's head. Braddock and the other prisoners watch in horror as Opelka grits his teeth and shudders with fear. The gun doesn't fire. Opelka jumps. Chow recocks the gun and points it at Opelka's head once again. The gun fails to fire again. A wide-eyed Opelka grimaces. Lau drops him onto the ground. He grasps at Ian's boots. Yin kicks him off.
Nestor!
What does he want from you?
Keep on looking out!
Chow dumps Opelka back into the prison hut.
Chow, get over here! Chow! You stop!
Hey!
Get out of here, Chow! What's your name?
This is my way!
No, get over here, Chow! You're nothing! Chow! Chow!
You lose.
It's come, Chow! Get out of here, Joe! Don't shut that door! Azili! Get out of here, Joe! I'm dying to stay down here!
Azili!
It's not doing anyone any good, you know that.
What the hell is going on? Why are they starting this torture crap again, huh?
Braddock goes over to the sobbing Opelka, who's with Ho.
It's okay, kid. It's okay.
As the prisoners queue up for food in the sunshine, Nesta heads across the camp and finds Ho eating by himself. Nesta puts a package next to Ho.
Yeah, brushes and things.
Did you get the quinine?
Nah, I can't. Yen has it locked up. But he told me to tell you that if Braddock confesses, he will give it to you.
Yen can't be trusted.
I've given him what he wanted, and he's treated me well enough.
He doesn't care about you. It's Braddock's confession he's always wanted. Over the years, it's driven him mad.
Then why not just give it to him?
If Yin ever breaks Braddock, we will all be killed.
In Yin's hut.
Colonel Braddock, I have spoken to my superiors and arranged for you to be released. If you will simply let us film your confession just once. No public appearances, no questions. We could do it right now.
A smiling Yin proffers Braddock a pen and a clipboard.
You know I can't do that.
Carry him!
Lau thumps him.
Some of my men feel I'm being too lenient with you.
Yin puts the clipboard and pen down and grabs Braddock's shoulder.
Colonel Braddock, I didn't want to have to tell you this, but maybe you should know. Your wife is planning to remarry. She has you declared dead. Your family needs you. Sign this statement, and I will let you go home before the wedding.
Colonel Yin, if my wife is getting remarried, I'm happy for her. Because if she's going to wait for me to sign this confession, she's going to be waiting a long time.
Yin slaps Braddock across the face, then punches him in the stomach. Braddock straightens. Yin smirks.
Get him out of here.
Lau and Chow march Braddock down the stairs into the camp. The other prisoners file past below. At the bottom of the stairs, Lau knocks Braddock to the ground.
Get down, come on!
Mazzilli and Frankie skirt round Lau and help Braddock up. Lau shakes his fist at Opelka. Lau punches Opelka in the face.
Braddock, since you're in a fighting mood, I'll give you one. Nestor, you will be Braddock's opponent, and you will win.
Nestor looks round at Braddock, then back at Yin.
I can't do that, sir. Well, Colonel Yin, our deal was that I would never have to hurt any of the other prisoners.
Fine. Don't fight. But I will put you back in the American cell. I'm not sure you would be as popular there as you once were.
Nestor looks round with a frown, then unbuttons his shirt and takes it off, revealing a lean, muscular physique. He turns around and paces towards Braddock. The two men stand face to face. Watching around them, Chow and Lau smile broadly.
Why don't you just take a few punches and go down, Colonel? It'll save us both a lot of pain.
Nestor raises his fists.
Put your hands up, Braddock.
Hands up, Braddock!
Colonel Yin is watching us. Hands up.
Nestor, he's using you!
Nestor thumps Braddock in the face. Braddock goes down, but quickly rises to his feet.
Come on, sir! Get up!
Protect yourself, huh?
Protect yourself!
Damn you, Colonel, fight me.
Come on! Colonel, protect yourself!
Braddock!
Get up, Colonel! Get up!
Braddock!
Yes, you need to stay down or fight!
Come on! Colonel! Get in here!
Braddock!
He's gonna kill you, Nestor. I don't want to fight you, Nestor.
You've got no choice now, Colonel.
No more favors. Now I hurt you. Guys.
Come on, sir. Get up.
Come on, for all of us. Get him.
Come on, Colonel.
Get up.
Come on, Nestor. Don't be a fool, man.
His feet chained together, Braddock stands up again and takes some punches in the face.
Get up, Colonel. Come on, get up.
Braddock,
stand.
Finish him off.
One time.
Come on.
They trade blows.
One more. Come on, baby, in on him. Give it another finish him off. Come on. Yes.
Come on, Colonel.
Come on, one more.
Come on, finish this off.
One good shot. One good shot.
Braddock blocks a punch, then chops Nestor in the ribs and elbows him in the stomach. He lands a punch and Nestor goes down. Lau and Chow have been betting with each other. Lau goes over to Nestor and gestures for him to get up.
Finish him off,
Colonel. Come on.
Careful.
Watch yourself. Finish him off.
Nestor lands a double punch. Braddock drops.
Get up, Colonel.
Braddock.
Get up, Braddock.
Get up, Colonel. Get up. What's your
name? Get up. Come on.
Finish this off.
Come on, Colonel. Get up.
Finish him off.
Now.
Your feet.
Come on, soldier. Get up.
Braddock rolls, grabbing Nestor's throat with the chain. Nestor's teeth are covered in blood. Braddock pulls the chain away. Nestor claws at his own throat, gasping for breath on the ground. Lau grabs Nestor, then punches him to the ground. Braddock hits Lau in the groin, then the face. He doubles up. A guard kicks Braddock, then so does Lau. Yin strides over and chops Lau to the ground. Yin stands over Braddock, still prone in the dirt.
You see what happens when one does not follow my direction immediately.
Yin stamps on Braddock, then glowers down at him coldly.
You lose.
On a bed amongst the straw in a prison hut, Braddock's eyes flicker open.
Colonel?
What'd Yin lay on you this time?
He said that my wife's getting remarried, and I've been declared dead.
He's bullshitting you. You know that, don't you?
Captain Ho? Anything on the quinine?
I don't have malaria.
Sweating heavily, Frankie frowns.
Nothing. But I have some things for you.
He hands Braddock a bottle.
Beer.
Ho helps Braddock raise his head. Braddock drinks gratefully, then hands the bottle to a shivering Frankie, who drinks.
Why don't you give the guys a drink?
Sure.
Mazzilli is with his chicken.
I got a surprise for you. See this baby, huh? Look at that.
Hey, Lieutenant.
Come on, sir. This is what you want.
Ho hands a tattered rolled-up flag to Braddock.
Thanks, Captain.
Braddock takes it and unfurls it. The prisoners are lined up in front of Yin and his men. Yin points down from a wooden platform. A guard shoves Frankie out of the line. Frankie is marched up onto the platform. His hands are placed in a noose by Lau. The rope is hoisted upwards. Frankie hangs by his wrists. Braddock heads for the platform and looks up at Yin.
Colonel Yin, I need to talk to you.
Yin hunkers down to listen.
I'm the officer in charge. If you have to punish somebody, then punish me.
Yin looks up at Frankie, then back down at Braddock. Nesta watches from the platform.
Confess. Admit your mistake. No. No.
Yin glances wearily at Frankie.
Very well. Now we count.
Chow holds up a sword and prepares to strike Frankie. Chow cuts the rope and Frankie drops to the platform. Yin smirks.
You're right. You are responsible.
Hey!
Braddock hurries up to the prone Frankie.
Come on, Frank. Here, I'll help you.
Lau chops Braddock over the back of the neck and Braddock falls on top of Frankie. Two guards drag Frankie away. Apelka and Mazzilli look on anxiously as Lau ties Braddock's wrists behind his back and Chow ties the rope to his ankles. Lau hoists him up as Chow picks up a rat cage. Chow prods the rat with a stick. A grinning guard opens a sack and Chow drops the rat from the cage into the sack. Suspended upside down, the sack is tied over Braddock's head. The other prisoners look on anxiously as Braddock's head shakes violently within the sack. Yin watches coldly. Nesta twitches. A bloodstain spreads across the sack. Then Braddock goes limp. Chow unties the sack from around Braddock's neck. Apelka shuts his eyes and looks down as the sack is removed. Braddock's blood-streaked face is obscured. The dead rat hangs head-first from between his teeth. A wooden bridge is lowered from halfway up a watchtower, connecting it to the roof of the prison hut. The prisoners help Braddock across the bridge. The prisoners are at work in the fields around the camp. they wearily shift rocks and dig into the earth. Braddock goes over to a struggling Frankie.
Let me get that one. You get the small ones.
Fine. It's so hot anyway.
What's that?
A chopper.
A Huey.
Sounds American.
Look out! Neo! Neo!
Lau and Chow motion wildly. Apelka shoves a guard, who fires as he falls. Chow fires at the fleeing Apelka. Braddock pushes Chow, who turns angrily. Apelka escapes through the tree line as the chopper swoops in low over the field. Chow and the guards usher the prisoners back towards the camp. The chopper hovers high above the camp, then slowly starts to descend. Chow and his guards train their guns on the chopper as it comes into land in the muddy clearing at the center of the camp. Lau stomps across the clearing. Chow and the guards edge slowly forward and surround the chopper. As the prisoners look on from their hut, some local girls climb out of the chopper in sexy clothes. Chow whoops. Yin comes down into the camp. The chopper pilot gets out.
Hope I didn't scare you guys! How do you like my new helicopter?
You're a day early.
I had to borrow it. The other was too small. I've brought you an arsenal that will discourage anyone from cutting into our opium business. Now all that can harm us are your American friends. Why are they still alive?
Francois, I have the situation under control.
They shake hands.
Thanks for our treat.
You're a hot little devil. You know, this time, they're all virgins. Come on, girls.
Colonel, I don't think there is a search team.
There's nothing we can do about it now. At least we know what they're putting in that hut.
Those boxes?
They're full of weapons. That's our way out.
When do you aim to kill the Americans?
In my own time.
You're risking our entire operation, a very profitable operation.
I'm thinking of getting a new watch. Do you think you can purchase one of those digital models?
I told you to kill the Americans, goddammit! If the POW search team hears about it, we're finished. Don't let your stupid ego ruin everything!
Yin smirks at the swarthy, dark-haired Francois.
Francois. Would you come with me for a moment?
Francois follows Yin into a hut and pats him on the back.
Look, I didn't want to...
You will never again speak to me like that in front of my men. It's just a dangerous example. Do you understand me?
Francois nods.
Good. Now, do you have any new information about the American search team?
No, it's the rumors. But there's been a guy hanging around asking questions.
Yin had Francois by the throat. In the prison hut?
One of Pelka's dead.
No. If he were, Colonel Yin would stick his body right in front of our faces.
By the open chopper door.
So, my friend, can I convince you to spend a night with us and the Virgin?
Sorry, I better not. Understand, I'm delivering the opium personally, but I will be back to pick up the girls.
Yin beams and shakes his hand.
Don't forget my watch.
The chopper lifts off out of the camp and flies away. Braddock, his eyes darkened and his face covered in deep scratches, turns away. the door and shows Braddock in. He walks over to Yin.
Colonel Braddock, Francois brought me something today that I'm sure is of great interest to you. It seems your ex-wife has finally written you a letter.
Wearing a pair of glasses, Yin holds up an envelope. Braddock reaches out. Yin holds the envelope back.
Unfortunately, you must be punished for the incident with your late friend Opelka.
He's dead.
Yin stares levelly at Braddock, then picks up a Zippo lighter and opens it. He holds the envelope up and lights the lighter. The envelope catches fire. Yin holds the letter, addressed to Colonel James Braddock, over his desk as it burns. Lau opens the prison hut hatch and peers in. Lau ushers Ho into the clearing outside the hut. The other prisoners watch as Lau beckons two of the girls over.
Hey, boy, you want to play?
The girls strip to their underwear, then undress Ho. The prisoners turn away, shaking their heads, as Lau drags Ho's trousers down, then loiters with the two girls and laughs at Ho. Lau lumbers off with his arms around both girls' shoulders. Day, a fair-haired man in shorts, ducks behind rocks beneath a watchtower on the camp's perimeter. With a machine pistol in one hand, he cranes his neck, then creeps behind a tree trunk. Lau keeps watch as the prisoners work the fields. The fair-haired man takes photos. The man glances back, then resumes taking photos.
You! Hi, Bella. I've been looking for you. That time you showed up. Your headquarters? You, take me to your headquarters.
Chow marches the craggy-faced photographer through the fields. The prisoners look on as he approaches Yin sitting in a rickshaw and reaches out to shake his hand.
Name's Emerson, Clive Emerson.
No, you don't understand. Now, what is needed here is a little courtesy and cooperation. I'm the point man for a POW search mission. The IFH got word of this little operation some time ago. Must say, we've had a devil of a time finding you.
Who's we?
Ah, yes. The International Freedom House. I'm not just running around the jungle looking for publicity.
You lie.
It's not a lie. I'm part of a major operation. There are 9 other scouts like me. We each have 5 square miles to cover. And all of us call in to Central Team regularly. Now, if you think that's a lie, you are in a pack of trouble. Why don't you cooperate and save yourself a lot of needless bloodshed?
What the hell's going on?
Damned if I know.
Yin jumps out of his seat.
Do you really expect me to believe you and turn over my whole camp?
Well, under the circumstances, yes, I believe that's the only thing that you could do. I hid a homing device out there in the jungle. My team know exactly where I am. Now, they'll be waiting for my signal. And if I give it, they'll come in slowly. If I don't, they'll come in fast, and you'll all be dead.
What signal?
Stop playing the fool. The way I figure it, these are your choices. You can either cut and run, or you can wait until my team come in, and then you can try to run. Or you can cooperate right now and save everyone a whole lot of trouble.
Yin glances at the watching POWs, then smiles at Emerson.
I believe you left out some of my options. One, I could kill you and the prisoners.
Yes, missed that one.
And two, I can simply lock you up and wait until you're ready to give the signal.
Yes, you could lock me up. I'll never give you the signal. I don't care if you kill me. Now look, I'm tired of hanging around under the sun playing footsie with a half-pint would-be dictator.
The POWs exchange nervous glances. Yin stares blankly at Emerson, then sits back down in the seat of his rickshaw and pouts.
Give him anything he wants.
I can't believe it! We're going home!
Okay, I want to know who won the World Series last year.
I don't know anything about any bloody World Series, mate. I'm an Australian.
Forget it, I love you anyway.
Watching from the prison hut hatch, Chow walks away.
Yin won't give up this easy. How large is your rescue team?
Large enough to kick Yin's ass, huh?
I'm alone.
The smile drops off Mazzilli's face.
Oh.
It's nobody knows I'm here, mate. And there's nobody gonna come and get me.
But the International Freedom House, the central team, the homing device.
Just a bluff, isn't it? I had to tell him something. Heard rumors about this place. I followed Francois in. I'm just a lousy photographer, mate. I needed pictures for proof.
Damn!
One thing for sure. He's got guts.
Yeah. Nobody ever broke into a prison camp.
All right, then let's get out.
Yeah, we'll head for the cliffs. Anything happens to me, I stash some ropes under a big rock. You can't miss it. Head for the Thai border, 100 miles due west. Come on, let's go.
Wait. Yin may let you go, but he certainly won't let us all go.
What's that?
It's Francois coming to pick up his horse.
He knows I'm alone.
Well, move it.
Emerson hurries out of the hatch. He passes Chow.
I'm just going to get the signal, mate.
Braddock, Frankie and Mazzilli watch from the hut as Chow follows Emerson across the clearing. Yin comes down as the chopper lands and grabs Emerson's shoulder.
Mr. Emerson! I'm just gonna give my signal! Good!
Damn.
I hope everyone told you how well they have been treated.
Well, they don't love you, but all in all, they look pretty good. I'll be right back.
One more moment, please. I would like you to meet a friend of mine.
I'll meet him later. I'm in a bit of a hurry. I wouldn't want the central team to get impatient, huh?
Francois, you met my friend. You look a little nervous.
He is the goddamn guy who's been asking questions about us.
He claims he's the point man for a major rescue operation.
He's lying. He's alone.
I've still got the homing device out in the jungle.
Yin steps towards a nervous-looking Emerson and smirks.
I'm weary of playing footsie with you. Take him to the tree.
Oh! Braddock watches ashen-faced as Chow shoves Emerson over towards the raised platform, where Yin conducts his tortures in the shadow of a big tree. Chow holds Emerson at gunpoint. Mazzilli and Frankie watch as Yin arrives on the platform.
For the crimes against the people of Vietnam, I sentence you to death.
Chow takes aim at Emerson's head. From the prisoner's hut.
Don't worry! It's not real! He's just trying to scare you!
I've got a lousy sense of humor!
Chow fires. Blood spatters out of Emerson's head. His eyes widen and his mouth gapes as he drops to the platform dead. Braddock, Mazzilli and Ho are by a groggy Frankie's side.
Get up. Get up.
Shut up, you asshole.
You. We'll get him up.
Okay, you're gonna be okay.
I'm okay.
Ho holds a bowl of water. They sprinkle some on the shivering Frankie's face. Night falls. Frankie lies under a blanket in the prison hut.
Captain Ho?
Mazzilli holds Frankie's head straight as Ho steps over and gently pulls Frankie's eyelids open. Ho looks round at Braddock.
He's dying.
Mazzilli frowns sadly. Hunkered by a post in the shadows, Braddock looks at the suffering Frankie, then jumps up and shouts through the gaps in the cell wall.
Ian!
Braddock, Mazzilli and Nesta are with the virtually comatose Frankie in Yin's hut. Yin prepares a syringe and hunkers down by Frankie on the floor.
Don't do it.
He has to.
What the hell's the difference?
Our struggle was a long one. As I predicted, you lost. I'm glad you finally understand the extent of your guilt. You do, don't you?
You don't understand shit.
Yes, Colonel Yin. I understand.
Yin reaches down and administers an injection into Frankie's arm.
Let's get him up.
They lift Frankie up. Braddock and Mazzilli support him.
Well, Braddock. I believe you have forgotten something.
Chow holds up a camera as Yin opens up the clipboard containing the typed confession and proffers a pen to Braddock. Chow takes the photo as Braddock takes the pen and signs his name at the bottom of the confession.
Now, my American POW, I will live up to my promise and will let you go free. Tomorrow, Francois will be here and will fly you to Thailand and deliver you to your embassy.
See, Colonel? I told you.
I will try to make your last day here as comfortable as possible. Here. Come into the next room. You'll stay there tonight.
Yin follows them into the grubby cell. They lie Frankie down on the bed. They look round at Yin, who smiles, nods, then walks out of the cell with the clipboard under his arm.
It's over. We're going home. I'm going to see my kid.
Something's wrong.
Nothing's wrong. You've just been here too long. You're in shock.
I am feeling better.
You're feeling better.
Frowning, Braddock feels for Frankie's neck pulse as Frankie beams.
That looks as fast.
Frankie's head lolls.
Oh, God. Get him out, Vasily. He's been poisoned. Come on.
Frank.
Walk, Frank. Is this an American funeral rite? I'm afraid I gave poor Franklin such an overdose of opium that he could walk from here to Los Angeles and would not do him any good.
No!
Yin chops Mazzilli down.
Throw him in the hole.
Son of a bitch.
Chow rifle butts Braddock in the stomach. Braddock hits the floor as Mazzilli and Frankie are hustled out. In the pouring rain, Frankie is laid down by Chow on a wooden platform. Braddock watches from the cell in Yin's hut. His eyes closed, Frankie breathes heavily. Chow steps back as Yin arrives and loiters over Frankie, holding a small umbrella over his head. He looks round at Braddock, then back at Chow, and makes a little gesture with his fingers towards Frankie. Chow picks up a petrol can and empties it over Frankie.
Wait! Yin! Wait! Yin!
Yin takes out a small firelighter and clicks it.
He's not dead! He's not dead! God! Help! Oh, God!
Yin holds the lighter next to Frankie, who goes up in flames.
Son of a bitch!
Yin looks down coldly at Frankie's burning body, then turns and looks at Braddock, whose lips waver as tears well in his eyes. Between the thin metal bars of his cell, Braddock watches Frankie burn. Day. The prison camp stands quiet in the sunshine. Yin's hut sits on a slope overlooking the rest of the camp. A guard peers into Braddock's cell and spots someone hanging from the ceiling, their feet dangling lifelessly above the wooden floorboards. The guard goes into the cell and walks around the body. It's Braddock, his eyes closed and head lolling on his shoulder. The guard walks back towards the door. Braddock springs to life, grabs the guard and twists his neck, breaking it. The guard falls to the floor, twitching. Braddock opens the cell door. He steps outside of Yin's hut and clocks the covered hole in the middle of the camp clearing. There's a rock on top of the wooden cover. Mazzilli sits beneath it. Braddock sneaks along Yin's balcony and drops down beneath the staircase leading to the camp. A guard lies asleep by Yin's rickshaw. Braddock creeps through the long grass around the hut. The guard wakes and picks up his gun. He walks across a short bridge over a trench within the camp as Braddock ducks beneath it. Braddock waits for the guard to pass, then hurries along the trench beneath another wooden bridge. He arrives by the hole where Mazzilli's chicken loiters by the cover, which is at ground level. There's an armed guard standing nearby. Braddock ducks back into the trench as the guard steps onto the cover and peers through the crossed wooden bars into the hole. Braddock hunkers by a bamboo fence as the guard turns around and sits down on top of the rock, holding the hole cover down. Braddock bashes the fence, then reaches up to it. The guard cleans his gun, unaware of Braddock, who climbs through the hole in the fence, then hurries through the trees around the camp's perimeter. He drops down behind some foliage and crawls along on his hands. He arrives at the guard hut by the suspension bridge and peers through the window. An inebriated-looking guard tips some water out of the window. Braddock ducks, then thumps him as the guard walks past. He knocks the guard out. Another guard leans out of the hut window. Braddock sneaks around the outside of the hut and flattens against the wall by the door. Braddock grabs the guard as he comes outside and breaks his neck, then quickly stows the body under the hut's stairs. He hurries over to the precarious-looking narrow bridge and heads onto it. Keeping low, Braddock drops onto his front as he crosses the bridge, which is made up of wooden boards. In the guard hut on the other side, a guard lights a cigarette. Another guard casually cleans his gun as Braddock drags himself along the wooden boards nearby. He looks down through a gap in the boards at the river far below. The guards leave their hut on the other side of the bridge. Braddock spots them and looks furtively between the end of the bridge and the river running through the ravine below. A guard mounts the bridge and steps across the boards. He arrives by the missing board and loiters. Braddock hangs by his arms on the underside of the bridge. He glances down at the raging waterfall beneath him.
Hey! Wake up! Hey!
That was a guard on the far side of the bridge. The guard stationed above Braddock turns around and heads back towards his hut. Braddock grits his teeth as he swings his legs up to grip the bridge above him, then hauls himself along the underside of the bridge using the rope that links the boards together as handholds. Braddock reaches the far side of the bridge just after the guard, then drops onto the flat cliffside beneath it. Braddock creeps up the cliffside. Yin opens a hatch in the hole cover. Mazzilli looks up. Yin has got his chicken in his arms.
Mazzilli, I thought you should know that you're completely alone. Your brave colonel has abandoned you to die here.
Braddock got away?
He'll die tomorrow. So will you. In the meantime, if you're lonely, play with your friend.
Yin breaks the chicken's neck, then drops it callously into the hole, onto a sobbing Mazzilli. Yin stares down coldly at him, then shuts the hatch. Nesta waits on Yin and Chow in Yin's hut.
More wine, Colonel?
No.
Braddock gone! Why keep him alive?
You know, I might be wrong, but I don't think it's a very good idea to kill me.
Why not? I could always get someone to pour my wine.
It's because I'm the only one left who really knows how Colonel Braddock thinks. See, he hasn't gone yet.
Is that so?
Yes. He has stayed to try and take revenge on you.
Yin looks round sharply at Nesta, then stands up and drops his napkin on the table.
I will use Francois' helicopter. We will capture him tomorrow.
Daytime, Francois pilots the chopper past a high ridge.
We should have killed that guy a long time ago.
From the seats behind Francois, Yin watches the jungle canopy below. Guards supervise prisoners in the fields around the camp. Working with a shovel, Ho looks up and spots Braddock sneaking out of the long grass by a hut. The smiling guard heads off around the hut with a gun slung over his shoulder. He walks past the long grass by the tree line and disappears around the back. Braddock rises from the grass and follows him. Ho scans around. He spots a guard sitting on a bench nearby. The guard's head is bowed. As Braddock rises behind the guard, Ho drops his shovel and runs at one of the other prisoners. Braddock grabs the guard and knocks him out cold. As the other guards run across the field to watch Ho and the prisoner rolling around, Braddock cuts through the ammo hut's wall. Dressed in a headband and a Vietnamese guard's uniform, Braddock pushes through the plant mesh wall, then reaches back and carries a big box on his shoulder into the long grass by the tree line. He dumps the box amongst the grass, then goes back to the rip in the hut wall. He keeps an eye on the guards in the field as he takes another big box out of the hut. The guards beam and applaud as Ho and the prisoner continue to fight in the mud. Braddock leaves a pair of broken manacles on the hut's stilt foundations. On board Francois' chopper, Yin sits with his arms folded, staring through the open door. Francois takes off his pilot's headphones and looks back.
We'd better get back! You'll never find this guy alive!
Just keep searching!
Braddock loiters behind two guards who appear to be sketching by the suspension bridge. Braddock has the flamethrower. As the guards turn, Braddock sprays them with flames. The guards die flailing. Braddock sprays the nearby huts and the bridge itself. The flames envelop the wooden structures, burning rope and wooden boards fall from the bridge. The bridge collapses into the ravine, consumed by fire. The guards' bodies burn face down on the clifftop. The chopper comes into land in the camp's central clearing. Chow rushes over, opens the door for Yin, and salutes.
Ready, come back! Go bridge down! I can hold the prisoners in Nestor! You, to the bridge!
They find a tattered US flag in the ammo hut. Yin picks it up and grips it in his fist. He looks furious.
Bury him with this.
My God, it's a bomb!
Get out!
Francois, Yin and his men flee, then dive for cover as the ammo hut explodes. Somewhere in the camp, Braddock sets off charges around him. Francois and Yin cower in the grass. Yin pulls a gun as a hut is consumed by an orange fireball and trees fall onto the balcony. Braddock grips an Uzi submachine gun. Carrying rope, Braddock jabs a guard lying prone by the hole.
Open it! Vasily!
What the hell? Braddock!
Let's go!
Vasily climbs out. They run for the jungle tree line.
Come on!
Yin, Francois, and a team of guards arrive by the empty hole in the camp's center. Yin directs his soldiers towards the tree line. Amongst the trees, Braddock sets a grenade trap hooked up with barbed wire. Braddock and Mazzilli scan around, then set off down a slope covered in dense, low-lying foliage. Yin's men head down the same slope just moments behind them. Braddock and Mazzilli arrive at an impassable ravine.
Damn. We gotta find that rope.
A prison guard trips the grenade.
They get too close. Let's get out of here.
It's gotta be here.
They search the jungle around them.
Harrison said they were under a big rock. There must be 60 big rocks.
Braddock finds an orange bag beneath some foliage.
Here it is.
Braddock and Mazzilli tie the rope around a tree on the clifftop with some carabiners. Braddock lobs the bag over the cliff. The guards race through the jungle as Mazzilli prepares to abseil down the cliffside.
Good luck, kid.
Aren't you coming?
I'm going after Hull.
If you're staying to fight, there's no way I'm leaving you.
Here they come. Get your ass down the cliff.
Keep on moving up.
Mazzilli sets off down the cliff. Braddock heads up the slope. Braddock opens fire from behind a tree. Guards drop in the clearing. Braddock lobs a grenade. Mazzilli slowly glides down the cliffside on the rope. Rising warily from the ground, Chow spots the rope attached to the tree. Mazzilli arrives at the base of the waterfall and looks up. Two guards approach the rope. One of them sets off down the cliffside. Braddock spots him and opens fire. Cutting the rope, and sending the abseiling guard falling to his death. The guard's body hits rocky outcrops and slams into the rocks at the bottom. Chow peers over the cliff edge. Mazzilli wades through the river down below. Braddock carries on up the slope at the top of the cliff. Chow watches Mazzilli by the edge of the cliff top. In the river, Mazzilli clings to a rock and looks up at the massive waterfall above. Chow and his men stop amongst the trees. Braddock runs up a slope nearby, then looks back.
Unite!
Chow sends his men in different directions.
Yunnan!
Chow follows two guards off to the left. On the slope, Braddock takes out a grenade and pulls the pin. He spots the encroaching guards and throws the grenade. Chow sends his men back the way they came. On a leaf-strewn path, Braddock checks his ammo. He discards the empty clip, then grits his teeth and hurries up the slope. Braddock stops by some trees and pulls a knife. Two guards head up the slope behind him. Braddock leaps from the trees above and kicks the first guard clear. He drops the second with another kick, then Chow runs up and opens fire. Braddock leaps down slope for cover and ducks beneath a wide tree branch. He lies still as Chow stalks through the undergrowth, scanning around with his gun held in both hands. Sweating heavily, Braddock glances back anxiously as leeches squirm over his clothes and face. Chow stands in the jungle, watching the foliage and scanning around his feet. Chow frowns angrily, then runs back up the slope through the trees. Braddock leaps up and charges down slope through the undergrowth, leaping into the river at the base of the waterfall. He hurriedly rips off his shirt and thrashes around, scraping off leeches.
You idiot!
Come in.
So, Yin, we're all loaded up. I'll see you in about a week.
Francois, I will need your helicopter to look for the Americans. I believe they've gone down the river.
I am sorry, I can't help you.
You will not go.
I am going. Come on, let's go. Get your hands up! What the hell are you doing?
They're following my order. They needed a new leader after they heard that you had died.
Francois pulls a knife. Chow shoots him in the chest. Francois looks wide-eyed with surprise as he collapses onto the floor. Lau salutes as Yin arrives by the chopper. Yin returns the salute. Lau and his men board the chopper, and Yin directs them to take off. Chopper takes off and hoves over the trees under a clear blue sky. Braddock arrives on a ridge overlooking the camp. His fatigues are ripped into a more basic poncho and headband. He spies on a guard through bamboo struts in the fence. Chow has the prisoners corralled into an open space beneath one of the watchtowers. Braddock rises from the trench and sneaks towards the lone guard patrolling the walkway by the prison huts. Braddock kicks the guard in the ribs. Ho watches alongside Chow as Braddock knocks the guard off the walkway with two punches, then hunkers down by the prison hatch.
Ho! Ho!
He lifts the hatch. Guards open fire from below. He drops a grenade inside. Chow opens fire as Braddock leaps off the walkway and runs into the tree line around the camp. Nesta and Yin run out of Yin's hut. Braddock sprints through the jungle. The guards struggle through the undergrowth on his trail. Braddock heads down the foliage-covered slope. Between two of his guards, Chow scans around as he heads through the long grass. By the cliffside, Braddock steps onto a thick branch hung sideways across the waterfall. He turns to watch the guards heading down the slope behind him. Chow and his guards mount the tree branch. Chow stops by the waterfall and scans around. Chow moves on. There's a thin bamboo shoot sticking out of the river below. Braddock rises from the water, taking the bamboo out of his mouth. Someone leaps onto Braddock from above. Braddock wrestles him off, then holds him up.
Apelka! Colonel!
A weary-looking Apelka gawps, then rests his head on Braddock's shoulder. They sit together amongst the trees.
Glad you made it, kid.
Thanks, Colonel. Ian must have given up on me.
I thought you were dead. How come you hung around?
I don't know. I guess it was just some kind of instinct.
I want you to guard the base. If I'm not back in 24 hours, go down the river and try to find Mazzilli.
Colonel, I know you don't need me to guard the base. I want to help you get those bastards.
Chow and some guards put Yin down in his rickshaw in the center of the camp.
He's listening. He knows we're here.
Apparently, Chow's got a manacled Yin with him. He batters him to the ground, then shoots him.
He's dead! We leave now! Be good, Braddock! Come look for yourself! You're dead!
Apelka grabs Braddock's shoulder.
So the boots, that's not Yin.
Nesta snarls and throws something down on the body by the rickshaw. Chow and co. walk away from the body that isn't Yin.
I'm going after Ho. He's in one of those two shacks down there. If there's any fireworks, here, throw these grenades.
Sir, what about Nesta?
He can take care of himself. He always has.
Nesta hunkers in bushes with Yin and Chow.
He won't show me.
In an ordinary guard's outfit, Yin lowers binoculars.
He'll come.
Braddock stands on a ridge overlooking the camp. He spots a chopper hoving over the trees. There's a man suspended upside down from the chopper's landing gear.
Good! They got Mazzilli! Let's go!
Hiding amongst the trees behind a rock, Opelka bows his head as the chopper lands.
Colonel Braddock!
Yin stands in front of the chopper alongside a nervous-looking Mazzilli. Braddock rises behind some bushes as Yin checks his watch theatrically.
I'll give you 30 seconds to decide whether you want Mazzilli to live or die!
Braddock takes a few paces forward and hunkers down as Yin grips Mazzilli by the shoulder and looks at his watch again. Opelka readies his weapon behind the rock amongst the trees. Nesta, Chow and Lau are with Yin by the chopper.
Your 30 seconds is up! You have just murdered your last man!
Psst, Mazzilli. Anything you want me to tell your kid? Mazzilli is mine. Why don't we just tell the kid that Daddy was a very brave soldier, right up to the very end?
Nesta glowers and points a gun at Mazzilli, then targets Yin. He shoots a soldier, then Lau as Yin ducks. Mazzilli runs. On the ground, Chow sprays Nesta with bullets. Opelka and Braddock lob grenades at the chopper. Mazzilli hares across the camp. Opelka throws another grenade. Braddock grabs Mazzilli and they both duck under a small bridge over the trench.
Nestor, he came back to us.
Yeah, I know. I'm going after Hope.
A watchtower guard fires on Ho and the prisoners as Braddock leads them out of a hut. Opelka fires on the tower and the guard falls to the ground below. Mazzilli fires on Yin's hut. Yin ducks. Braddock joins Ho and Mazzilli, whose guns are trained on Yin's hut.
Cover us, Ho. We're going in.
No!
Colonel! They're on Yin's house.
Opelka!
Lieutenant?
Yin and Chow peer through the window of Yin's hut.
Opelka, left flank.
Mazzilli, come back.
Ready?
Go!
Yin passes Chow grenades, then opens fire with an M16 assault rifle. Mazzilli and Braddock hair up the slope towards the hut as Yin continues to fire. Opelka pops up under the hut's balcony and shoots the guard in the window. Chow leaps out of the window onto the balcony. Mazzilli hides beneath the balcony. He picks up a thick bamboo stick. As Chow leaps the railing, Mazzilli skewers him with the stick. Yin spots Braddock and fires. Ho opens fire and Yin ducks behind the window frame. Mazzilli and Braddock prep grenades, pull the pins, and lob them onto the walkway. Ho keeps his gun trained on the hut as the explosions tear through the walls. Smoke rises from the debris. Mazzilli heads inside. Braddock climbs over a railing. Opelka and Braddock join Mazzilli inside the smouldering hut.
Nobody can live through this.
Colonel.
Opelka points at a severed leg in a pool of blood on the floor. The boot on the foot matches Yin's boot. Braddock shuts the lads in the chopper.
You ever had to fly this thing?
You better believe it.
As Mazzilli lifts the chopper out of the camp, a hatch opens amongst the debris in Yin's hut. As the chopper flies away, Yin, with both his legs intact, climbs out from under the hatch and closes it. He stands up and frowns. Scanning around and wiping dust from his hands, he paces through the ruined hut with a scowl on his face. Hands on hips, Yin turns around at the window. Braddock emerges from the shadows and smirks at him.
You really didn't think I'd leave without knowing for sure you were dead.
You'll not just kill me. You want to know who the better man is. That is why you stayed behind. I also want to know. That is why I kept you alive all these years. Now it is the time. You and I, one on one. No politics. No weapons.
Yin holds his hands up, takes the gun from his belt, and discards it.
Just a little game to find out who is the better man.
Braddock drops his ammo bag.
I knew you could not resist my challenge.
Braddock steps towards Yin, then points a gun at his head.
Colonel Yin, when the atrocities inflicted on the Vietnamese and American prisoners of this camp, I sentence you to death.
Yin flinches, then smirks. He lurches at Braddock, who kicks him in the ribs. Yin buckles, then rises, rubbing his chin. The two men circle each other inside the bombed-out hut. Yin holds his arms out in a fighting stance. The pair trade blocks. Braddock spins, throws an elbow, then kicks out behind him. Yin flies back. Nimbly, Yin gets to his feet and grasps a basket, which he flings at Braddock, who evades it, then grabs Yin's arm. Yin tries an ankle breaker, but Braddock steps back and kicks Yin in the ribs twice. Braddock winds his foot above Yin's arm and kicks him in the face, then pushes his boot against Yin's neck. Yin hits the deck and spots a gun nearby. Braddock kicks it away, and Yin stands up, smiling coldly. Yin fells Braddock with a punch, then prepares another strike. Braddock grabs Yin's arm and throws him down. He rolls into a wrestling-style dropkick, then flings Yin sideways, kicking him in the face. Both men rise, their arms outstretched in defensive postures. Yin flinches, faking a punch. Braddock calmly circles Yin, who kicks out. Braddock blocks. Yin ducks a spinning counterkick by Braddock. The two men face off. Again, Yin fakes. Braddock blocks a flurry of punches. Yin misses with his next few punches, and Braddock grabs him. He rams Yin's head into the wall, then gets Yin in a neck lock.
This is for Nestor.
Yin struggles as Braddock squeezes his arm tight around his neck.
Not yet.
He throws Yin backwards against the door, then kicks him through it. Yin lands on the straw-covered floor of the cell. Yin gets up and woozily staggers back out through the cell door. He frowns and stares at Braddock, then holds his fists out in front of him.
Your game's over.
Braddock delivers kicks and punches, then spins in midair, dropping Yin with a flying neck lock. He kicks Yin across the floor, then stands and looks down at him. Yin claws his way up the wall. Braddock punches him across the face. blood pours from Yin's nose. He shuts his eyes and grits his teeth as Braddock rains blows down into his face, then glowers at him.
This is for Franklin.
He punches Yin in the stomach and grips him by the ribs, squeezing hard. He stares into Yin's eyes.
You lose.
Staring painfully back at Braddock, Yin drops to his knees. Slowly his shoulders droop as Braddock glares at him. Yin watches amazed as Braddock steps away and walks out of the hut, leaving Yin on his knees amongst the debris. Braddock heads across the camp towards a waiting chopper with spinning rotor blades. He stops, pulls out a remote, and extends the aerial.
This is for me.
He clicks the trigger, and behind him, Yin's hut explodes in a burgeoning orange fireball. Shrapnel and debris litter the camp. Braddock discards the remote and heads for the chopper as Yin's hut is consumed by flames. Braddock boards the chopper, which lifts off and flies away. ITFC audio description.